Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. With the Lord's help, we're going to conclude a message I've entitled The Covenant of Relationship. God is a covenant-keeping God. He is in covenant with His people, and as God's people, we should be in covenant with one another, committed to the very things that God is committed to, that we are the body of Christ by our very nature, by our very definition, by God's very design. We must be in a loving, agape relationship with one another. That's God's plan. That's how it's going to be in heaven. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to smooth off the rough edges, to give us the ability to mortify the deeds of the body, the works of the flesh that are outlined in Galatians. And as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, there's a difference between agreement and acceptance. We may not agree, but we must accept one another. And to presume that others may need us to correct them or to assume that we never need correcting, these attitudes assume that we have a full and complete understanding of the situation. If, for example, if we are trying to correct someone else, and only God knows the heart. As I shared as we concluded yesterday's broadcast, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, and the Lord was saying this to Samuel, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, we see one of the beauties of the gifts of the Spirit. If God gives a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, we are, for a moment, sharing in some of God's omniscience, His knowledge. Sometimes there's no way in the natural we could know something about an individual, but we can speak the truth because the Holy Spirit is desiring to minister to that individual, and He utilizes it, or He does that through the gifts of the Spirit. But full knowledge of someone's heart, where they are, we cannot really be the judge. And let me say this, this will give you something to think about. The greater our insecurity, the less willing we are able to tolerate those who disagree. The greater our insecurity, the less we will tolerate disagreement with us. Amos 3:3 does say this, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The Revised Standard Version says, "Do two walk together unless they've made an appointment?" Other translations will say, "Do two men travel together unless they have planned it?" And the Lord spoke to me this thought, our very strengths have proved to be our weakness and undoing. You know, as we look at the history of the Christian church, we see today, I remember when we were part of that Christian copyright thing, when you have to give credit to those who are Christian composers that have provided songs for the body of Christ, our worship services, you had to mark what denomination you were. It was incredible how many denominations there are in today's world. And why? Because every single denomination has felt that they have a greater revelation of truth. They disagreed with those who were formerly a part of it, and that's how the various denominations started. But beloved, when you think of it, what a testimony is that to a world that doesn't understand. The unbeliever looks and says, well, Christians can't even agree among themselves. I know the instance of a brother who loves the Lord. He had a dramatic conversion experience, and because he was so unlearned, he wasn't part of the church, he started to investigate. He didn't know where he should go. What denomination should he belong to? And of course, the Holy Spirit is very faithful to lead us into all truth. But it's a sad testimony that we are not like the early church. They simply believed the Word of God. They were together. They were together in the spirit and even in the natural. They had all things in common, it says. But the point is not that we have to go back to that same kind of economics that the early church had, but certainly spiritually we need to. You know, I know this is very a popular saying. Those many years that Brother Glass and I were, he was in leadership for 10 years in our ministers' fellowship, and you know, we can agree to disagree. Well, that's a very good thing, but you know, I have to keep things real simple. I used to say, well, you know, if we all are supposed to have the mind of Christ, well, Christ is not schizophrenic, he's not double-minded, and as we seek after the fullness of the Lord and try to understand his ways and will, there will be agreement. Beloved, all those in heaven are in perfect agreement with the Lord. They understand that his ways are absolutely perfect. His way is truth. His ways are done in love. And so he's an absolutely benevolent monarch. So what's the answer? It's the law of the Lord converting the soul. Beautiful passage found in Psalms, the 19th chapter. I don't know if I can read all of it, but it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired than gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. David goes on to say, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. What a beautiful prayer that we all can pray. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You know, we have to understand that whenever we think we have all the answers, when we have that kind of mentality, we have gone off into error. We've gone off into spiritual pride. He that thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. You know, that's a religious spirit. Jesus addressed that spirit was so prevalent in his days with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, and he was trying to emphasize, because they were so careful about keeping the Sabbath laws, that he said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God didn't create man so he could fulfill all these regulations. It's the spirit of the law. You know, the letter kills, that's the bottom line, but the spirit gives life. And the answer is the law of the Lord is perfect. If we will embrace his law, if we will determine, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, to know no one after the flesh. Other translations put that verse this way, 2 Corinthians 5:16. For ourselves, then, from this time forward, we refuse to regard anyone from the world standpoint. Once convinced of this, then, I estimate no one by what is external. We do not think of anybody in a merely human fashion or point of view. Other translations put it this way, with us, therefore, worldly standards have ceased to count in our estimate of any man. The word emulation that is found in the King James in Galatians, the 5th chapter, when it talks about the works of the flesh, what is that but ambitious rivalry? And beloved, let me just share this. If you look with a critical, judgmental spirit, just be confident. Be assured you will find fault. Beloved, there's not one of us perfect. There's no leader in the body of Christ that is perfect. There is no church that is perfect. There is no ministry that is without human failing and faults, but thank God, the grace of God covers us, and we are all a work in progress. And we have to understand that, beloved, in order for the church to grow, in order for the church to be one. You know, I make so frequent reference to that exhortation in Ephesians. It talks about fivefold ministry. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, until we finally grow up. As I said, you know, I have to keep things simple. I had a friend years ago, what's God speaking to you now? Well, you know, he's wanting to save people, and he wants us to grow up. Just that simple. That's the word. That is. I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but those are the purposes of the Holy Spirit. He wants to see his family enlarged, everyone to come into the ark of safety before it's everlastingly too late. And he wants his people to grow up, to come into the maturity, into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So, beloved, if you're looking for faults, you will find them. But, beloved, as James says in the 4th chapter, verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? You know what, Jesus, when he was speaking his parables about the wheat and the tares were what the enemy had sown. He said, let the wheat and tares grow up together. What's the bottom line safeguard, beloved? It's the attitude of our hearts. And love is God's answers. His answer, his first and perfect solution to all of our problems on church building, on growth, on evangelism, in terms of our personal relationships. If we don't love our brother who we've seen, how can we love God who we've not seen? Beloved, there's nothing more beautiful, I think, in Scripture than what Paul expressed in that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, that love is not easily offended, it thinks no evil. This is the standard by which we need to live our lives. I wish I had time to read it, but I don't. I encourage you to reread that beautiful passage that Paul exhorted us to walk in. He talked about the gifts in the 12th and the 14th chapter, but all of those meant nothing unless we were motivated by godly love. And beloved, through the covenant of relationship, through agape love, that is how the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be built, and how our personal relationships with one another will grow and prosper. God bless you. It's been a privilege to minister the Word of the Lord to you. I invite you to write if you're having problems in areas, and we all can. That's the nature of this earthly walk and the trials and testings we go through. I encourage you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Judah saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.